Governments change disability benefits at their peril. But over the past 8 years, the Department for Work and Pensions says there's been a rise of 30% in the number of people claiming disability living allowance. That's why ministers, under pressure to make budget cuts, have decided to reform the system. But that's provoked widespread criticism from disability charities. And the government's facing serious opposition in the House of Lords this afternoon. So what are the changes being proposed? Here's our reporter Terry Stiassny with the World at One Minute Guide to Disability. Disability benefits.
Martha, the government argues that cutting the costs of benefits paid to disabled people will save £2.79 billion by 2015-16. There are just over 2 million people of working age on DLA. The government expects that without changes, 2.2 million people will claim the benefit by 2015. It now expects 1.7 million people to get their new payment. Disability living allowance is a cash payment to cover the extra costs of living with a disability, paid to people in work as well as those who aren't working. The DWP said there'd been a 30% increase in claimants over the last 8 years. Disability groups dispute that, saying that for those of working age it's nearer 13%. Disability living allowance has two parts, care and mobility. At the moment, the highest rate for care is £73.60 a week, the lowest £19.55. The government's proposed replacement is the personal independence payment. That would also be a non-means-tested, non-taxable cash benefit. There'd be daily living and mobility elements, with two rates for daily living, rather than three as now. The government hasn't yet published the figures for those rates. Claimants would get benefit for a fixed time. We don't know how long. Currently, many people get benefits indefinitely.
Terry, thank you with the World at One Minute and a Quarter Guide there. Now, as we heard, some of the figures used by the government to support its changes to the disability living allowance have been questioned. The so-called Spartacus report, written by disabled people, used data obtained under the Freedom of Information Act to challenge what the government's saying. One of its authors was Sue Marsh, and she joins me live. Tell us about some of the findings.
Hi. We'd actually been making a lot of these points for a long time, for over a year, and we felt that it was really important to try to get them out, with our own voice in time for this bill. One of the problems, as you pointed out in your section, was that the government constantly claimed there's been a 30% rise in disability living allowance. Actually, that just doesn't take account of so many factors. As you said, it includes people who've retired, it includes children, and they're not going to be affected by the new benefit, personal independence payments. But it also fails to look at the fact that as a country, we've got older. We've had people living longer, and people are surviving more conditions. So there's been this kind of implication that there's an explosion of disability benefit claims, that possibly that's tied up to people claiming who don't really need it. And we had a really good look at the figures, and as you said, we found that for working age people who'll be affected by this new benefit, the rise is closer to 13%.
I want to bring in Maria Miller now, sure. Who is the Minister for Disabled People, and get her to answer that point, Maria Miller. So do you think that you have actually been manipulating the figures? In fact, it's really only 13% rise for working age recipients.
I think the important point is the government is absolutely committed to supporting disabled people, and that's why we continue to spend £40 billion a year doing so, and that we need to make sure that money is going where people need it, and the taxpayer needs to be sure of that as well.
Sure, but
and
on
at the
particular
moment,
point
can't
about
be convinced of that.
Could you just address the particular point that Sue Marsh made about the figures?
The figures are very clear. We've seen the caseload grow by 400,000 over the past 9 years, and three quarters of that growth is not due to demographic factors. I think the figures speak for themselves, and I think it's important that people understand that DLA at the moment is a benefit which is received by 70% of people as a lifetime award, and little wonder we have a situation where £600 million every year is going out in overpayments because those benefits simply are not kept up to date. There's no inbuilt way of reassessing people.
So isn't it fair, Sue Marsh, that the benefit, which costs a lot of taxpayers' money, should be looked at again, that people should be reassessed to see if they really need the benefit?
And there was actually a lot of support for reform of DLA amongst disabled people and charities and groups. They felt that it was outdated in some ways, that it could be simplified, that there were things we could do, that actually assessment in itself wasn't a bad idea.
And you yourself have had personal experience of this, haven't you?
I haven't been assessed, but I used to claim disability living allowance, and because my condition changes over time, I've got bowel disease, so sometimes I'll be very ill, sometimes I'll be better. I used to just cancel the disability living allowance when I didn't need it and then claim again. Recently, the claim was rejected, that's right, despite the fact that since I've had heart surgery, a stroke and two more major bowel operations.
So doesn't examples like that, Maria Miller, make you realise that it can be very difficult to work out who is entitled to this benefit and who isn't?
Well, I welcome Sue's support for change and simplification. Mm. And I think that her own case shows a very strong argument for a face-to-face assessment, because as Sue knows herself, filling out the current self-completion questionnaire for DLA, it's complex, there's no help there. And what we're talking about is actually having professional healthcare professionals there for people to be able to talk to about their conditions, to make sure we get the assessments right, and actually under the new personal independence payment that we have an inbuilt reassessment so people aren't at risk of getting the wrong award.
So Sue Marsh, wouldn't that actually have made things easier for you?
When I said, for me, I don't know. When I said that there was support for some form of assessment, that doesn't mean that there was broad support for the kind of assessment that the government want to bring in. Now, there's another disability benefit or sickness benefit where they have face-to-face assessments. For the employment support allowance, they're called work capability assessments. And for the last 3 years, they've been failing utterly. The government have acknowledged that. They brought in Professor Harrington to do a review, the Citizens Advice, the government's own advisory committee. They haven't been working. And what people are really terrified of, I think, is that similar assessments will be rolled out for disability living allowance using a tick box computer system that can't assess disability properly. And all we want to do is make absolutely sure that any assessment's fair. And another really key point...
Let Maria Miller answer that point.
And I think, again, I'd reassure Sue that this is not the work capability assessment. And I'd remind her that's something we inherited from the previous government. And with Professor Harrington, we're working to make it better. What we're talking about here, and we've been working hand in glove with the disability lobby and disabled people on it, is a very different approach, not a tick box approach, very much a face-to-face assessment, and something which absolutely is fair. And it's going back to that prime point, which is we have to make sure that people have confidence in our benefit system, nowhere more so than with DLA and the new PIP assessment. And at the moment, that confidence is not there, because people know that there is no inbuilt way of reassessing people.
Maria Miller, Sue Marsh, thank you both.